Yeah, he was something. I'd like to meet him too. I'm not sure I could understand him when he talked. It'd be like me trying to talk to Al about a computer. But it'd be interesting anyway. I can keep up with Al until he opens his mouth. Verse 21, this is the sum of the tabernacle, even of the tabernacle of testimony as it was counted, according to the commandment of Moses for the service of the Levites by the hand of Ithamar. That's Aaron's third oldest son. He was the one chosen to handle, to oversee all of this. Son of Aaron the priest. And Bezaliel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, made all that the Lord commanded Moses. And with him was Aholiab, son of Ahisamach of the tribe of Dan, an engraver, a cunning workman, and an embroiderer in blue and in purple and in scarlet and fine linen. Boy, these were wise men. Chapter 39 describes how they built the other things, the priestly garments. That they had finished it. Verse 32 of chapter 39. Thus was all the work of the tabernacle of the tent of the congregation finished. And the children of Israel did according to all that the Lord commanded Moses. So did they. And they brought the tabernacle unto Moses in pieces, of course. They brought all the pieces of the tabernacle together. It hadn't been set up yet. Brought them all together, verse 42, according to all that the Lord commanded Moses, so the children of Israel made all the work. And Moses did look upon all the work. He examined it to make sure it was done according to the pattern. And behold, they had done it as the Lord had commanded. Even so had they done it. And Moses blessed them. That's not a small thing. For this man behind that veil to give you a blessing in the name of Jehovah, Bezaliel, glory to God, and Aholiab were blessed. We're not told the details of their blessing, but God did something for those two men and their helpers. When Moses blesses you, it's not like you see on TV where the Catholic priest walks by and sprinkles water on you and incense and does this and you don't feel anything. God blessed these men. Amen.
It never says how long it took to do all this stuff.
Well, we have to guess. They left Egypt in the middle of the first month. They got to Mount Sinai probably about 50 days later. It was in the third month. So went up into the mount for 40 days to get the instructions. So that's going to take us somewhere in at least to the end of the fourth month. And if they didn't start putting this together until after he went another 40 days, that's maybe 6 months. So it took about a half a year because they put it up on the first day of the first month of the next year. So it took about 6 months for them to build this. There's not a construction company on earth now who could do it.
I mean, just think of all the... They had to kill the badgers. You know, they just had all that stuff they had to do and... Prepare the skins.
I think about all those tree trunks covered with gold. Fires going day and night. All those what? Yeah, the embroidery. There's no company organized. There's no company anointed by God could do that work like that now, I'm convinced. All right, Exodus 40. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, on the first day of the first month, this is the second year after they left Egypt, thou shalt set up the tabernacle of the tent of the congregation, and you shall put therein the ark of the testimony. Moses had to be the supervisor putting all this together. You put on the inside the ark of the testimony and cover the ark with the veil. You shall bring in the table, set in order the things that are to be set in order upon it. You shall bring in the candlestick and light the lamps thereof. Moses was the first one to light the lamps. You shall set the altar of gold for the incense before the ark of the testimony and put the hanging of the door to the tabernacle. You shall set the altar of the burnt offering before the door of the tabernacle of the tent of the congregation. You shall set the laver between the tent of the congregation and the altar, and you shall put water in it. You shall set up the court round about and hang up the hanging at the court gate. You shall take the anointing oil and anoint the tabernacle and all that is therein, and shall hallow it and all the vessels thereof, and it shall be holy. You shall anoint the altar of the burnt offering, all his vessels, and sanctify the altar, and it shall be an altar most holy. You shall anoint the laver in his foot, or his stand, and sanctify it. And on the first day of the first month of the second year, you shall bring Aaron and his sons unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and wash them with water. And you shall put upon Aaron the holy garments. You dress them. And anoint him, and sanctify him, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. And you shall bring his sons, and clothe them with coats. And you shall anoint them as thou didst anoint their father, that they may minister unto me in the priest's office. For their anointing shall surely be an everlasting priesthood throughout their generations. Thus did Moses, according to all that the Lord commanded him, so did he. And it came to pass in the first month, in the second year, on the first day of the month, that the tabernacle was reared up. Moses reared up the tabernacle, fastened his sockets, set up the boards thereof, put in the bars thereof, reared up his pillars, spread abroad the tent over the tabernacle, and put the covering of the tent above upon it, as the Lord commanded Moses. And he did everything just as God just told him to do it. In verse 23, he put the table and he put the bread in order upon it. Verse 25, he lighted the lamps. Verse 27, he burnt sweet incense. He got everything started. Verse 29, he put the altar of burnt offering in front of the tabernacle and offered on it. He offered the first burnt offering upon it. Moses got everything started. He did everything first. Verse 30, he set the laver between the tent of the congregation and the altar and put water in it to wash withal. And Moses and Aaron and his sons washed their hands and their feet thereat. And they went into the tent of the congregation. You had to wash first before you went in there, you remember. And when they came near unto the altar, they washed, as the Lord commanded Moses. And he reared up the court round about the tabernacle and the altar and set up the hanging of the court gate. So Moses finished the work. And when he finished it, a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Moses couldn't even go inside because a cloud was on it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And when the cloud was taken up from over the tabernacle, the children of Israel went onward in their journeys. But if the cloud were not taken up, then they journeyed not till the day that it was taken up. For the cloud of the Lord was upon the tabernacle by day, and fire was on it by night, in the sight of all the house of Israel throughout all their journeys. Now let's see what else happened this same day. On this sheet I give you, the Levitical priesthood begins. In Leviticus chapter 8. Turn to Leviticus chapter 8. In Leviticus chapter 8, God tells Moses what to do to prepare Aaron and his sons to minister at the tabernacle. And look in verse 6. This is the one of the main things. Moses brought Aaron and his sons and washed them. Turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 18. 18:15. Moses, he's near death now. He's talking to Israel. The Lord your God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me. Unto him you shall listen, according to all that you desired of the Lord thy God in Horeb in the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see this great fire any more, that I die not. And the Lord said unto me, they have well spoken that which they have spoken. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren like unto thee, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. Who was that prophet like unto Moses?
Jesus.
Jesus. God raised him up among the Jews to speak to them the word of the Lord, and whoever refused to hear him, God required it as a severe punishment for that, of course. But I often wondered over the years, until I understood something here that you just read a minute ago, why did the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the people in general, all men, it says in, I think it was Luke or John, all men mused in their hearts when John the Baptist came preaching whether he was the Messiah or not. I understood that they had been a few centuries there with no word from God, and they recognized that God was with him. But why did they think he was the Messiah? What was he doing that Jeremiah hadn't done? Or Isaiah hadn't done? Or Ezekiel? Or any of the prophets? And there's only one thing that made him like Moses. He was washing other people. Only Moses had ever done that. Every other case in the Old Testament of ceremonial washing, you did it to yourself. The man did it to himself, the woman did it to herself. There was no other case from Moses to John the Baptist where God sent a man to wash another one. So no wonder they wondered if he was the Messiah, because Moses said, a prophet like me, the Lord's going to raise up from among you. Listen to him. But John the Baptist was just a symbol of the one Moses was really talking about, who would wash not your body, but you. That's what it was really all about. So when Moses washed Aaron, and that meant something to God, that was a remarkable event. It was unrepeated in all of Israel's history. It was so great. Until John the Baptist came to prepare Israel for the prophet likened to Moses. So he's got Aaron and his sons there at the tent in Leviticus chapter 8. Or he's told by God to take him there. Let's start in verse 1. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, take Aaron and his sons with him, and the garments, and the anointing oil, and the bullock for the sin offering, and the two rams, and a basket of unleavened bread, and gather all the congregation together unto the door of the tabernacle. And Moses did as the Lord commanded him, and the assembly was gathered together into the door of the tabernacle. And Moses said, this is what God commanded me to do. And then he washed Aaron and his sons and put their clothes on them. Verse 10, Moses took the anointing oil and anointed the tabernacle and everything in it, sanctified them. Verse 12, he poured the anointing oil on Aaron's head and anointed him to sanctify him. Moses put clothes on Aaron's sons in verse 13. Moses provides a bullock for the sin offering for Aaron and his sons. Moses has to kill it in verse 15. Moses went through the ceremony for Aaron and his sons for a sin offering. And in verse 18, Moses brought the ram for the burnt offering and went through that. In verse 22, another ram. He killed it in verse 23. And Moses, in verse 23, took of the blood of it, put it on the tip of Aaron's right ear, and upon the thumb of his right hand, upon the great toe of his right foot, and he brought Aaron's sons out, and Moses put on from that blood on the tip of their right ear and thumbs and the great toes of their right feet, and Moses sprinkled the blood upon the altar round about. He burned the fat. Yeah.
What does that symbol mean? Your right ear, your right thumb, and your right...
I have no idea. Well, I have ideas, but I don't. The Lord hadn't shown me anything. It has a reason for being there. I just don't know what it is. In verse 26, out of the basket of unleavened bread that was before the Lord, he took a unleavened cake, a cake of boiled bread, and one wafer, and put them on the fat and upon the right shoulder, and put everything in Aaron's hands and said, wave it before the Lord. And he did. And Moses took it from off their hands in verse 28 and offered it to God. Verse 30, Moses took of the anointing oil and of the blood which was upon the altar and sprinkled it on Aaron, his garments, his sons, and their garments, and sanctified Aaron and his garments and his sons' garments with him. And Moses told him to eat his, told Aaron and his sons to eat their part of the sacrifice. Verse 33, he said, "Do not go out of the door of the tabernacle for 7 days, until the days of your consecration shall be an end. At an end, for 7 days shall he consecrate you, as he has done this day, so the Lord hath commanded to do, to make an atonement for you. Therefore shall ye abide at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation day and night 7 days, and keep the commandment of the Lord, that you die not. For this is what I'm commanded to do." So Aaron and his sons did all things which the Lord commanded by the hand of Moses. So in the day Moses rears up this tabernacle, he also goes through all this ceremony with Aaron and his sons. But there are other things going on too. Look at Numbers chapter 9 now. There's a lot going on that day they raised up the tabernacle. Numbers chapter 9, verse 15. "And on the day that the tabernacle was reared up, the cloud covered the tabernacle," namely the tent of the testimony, the tent in which the testimony was. And what was the testimony? The ark. The ark of the testimony. Well, now it might be the written law, it might be the stone or the book, whichever one you're saying. But the testimony was with that ark. If it wasn't the ark, it was what was inside of it. That's why they call it the tent of the testimony. The tent of the witness. The evidence of God. Okay? The tent of the testimony. "And at evening, there was upon the tabernacle, as it were, the appearance of fire unto the morning. So it was always. Cloud covered it by day, appearance of fire by night. And when the cloud was taken up, then the children of Israel journeyed. And in the place where the cloud stopped, the children of Israel pitched their tents. At the commandment of the Lord, the children of Israel journeyed, and at the commandment of the Lord they pitched. As long as the cloud abode upon the tabernacle, they rested in their tents. And when the cloud tarried long upon the tabernacle many days, then the children of Israel kept the charge of the Lord and journeyed not." So it was. "When the cloud was a few days upon the tabernacle, according to the commandment of the Lord, they abode in their tents, and according to the commandment of the Lord, they journeyed." So it was when the cloud abode from evening to morning, and that the cloud was taken up in the morning, then they journeyed. Whether it was by day or by night that the cloud was taken up, they journeyed. Whether it were 2 days, or a month, or a year, that the cloud tarried upon the tabernacle, remaining thereon, the children of Israel abode in their tents and journeyed not. But when it was taken up, they journeyed. At the commandment of the Lord they rested in their tents, and at the commandment of the Lord they journeyed. They kept the charge of the Lord at the commandment of the Lord by the hand of Moses. The New Testament is the same way. They that are led by the Spirit, these be the children of God. Move when the Spirit says move, get still when the Spirit says get still, and you're doing the same thing. You're doing the reality of what they were doing, what they were symbolizing. So on the day that the tabernacle was reared up, this cloud covered it. In chapters number, that's not all that happened that day though. Numbers chapter 7. The second longest chapter in the Bible. "It came to pass on the day that Moses had fully set up the tabernacle and had anointed it and sanctified it, and all the instruments thereof, the altar, vessels thereof, had anointed them and sanctified them, that the princes of Israel, heads of the house of their fathers, who were the princes of the tribes and were over them that were numbered, offered. And they brought their offering before the Lord, 6 covered wagons and 12 oxen, a wagon for 2 of the tribes and for each one an ox. And they brought them before the tabernacle. And the Lord said unto Moses, take it. If anybody brings you a gift, wait for God to say, take it. Because this world cannot give you anything without a hook in it. There's no love of God in this earth. Closest thing to it is the love of a mother for a child, or father for a child. But even that's not the same as the love of God. Take it. So Moses took it for the work of the tabernacle. Take it of them that they may be to do the service of the tabernacle of the congregation, and thou shalt give them unto the Levites, to every man according to his service. Now skip on down here a little bit. I was going to wait to get into this, but I'll just point this out to you. Moses took the wagons and gave them to the Levites. Two wagons. How many wagons were there all together in verse 3? Six covered wagons and 12 ox. Now you've got, I think we touched on this in Exodus chapter 6. Here's Levi. He's going to be the tribe for the service of God now. How many different sons did Levi have? Huh?
Three, wasn't it?
Yeah. Who's the first one?
Kohath.
Kohath. You get to know this better in a couple of weeks. Kohath, Merari, and Gershon. Okay? Now you've got six covered wagons, right?
Right.
Divide it by three, how many each one get?
Two.
You got 12 oxen. Divide it by three, how much each one get? Now let's see if God is fair. Two wagons in verse 7. Two wagons and four oxen to Gershon. Well, that's right. Two and four. Four wagons and eight oxen to Merari. Uh-oh. Merari got Kohath. God is not fair. How many did Kohath get? And he went, wee, 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 all the way home. You'll see why later. I don't want to get into that, take too much time. You'll read it. And I just want to show you how unfair God is. Day number one, when the tabernacle was anointed, verse 10. The princes offered for the dedication of the altar. In that day it was anointed. Even the princes offered their offering unto the Lord. And the Lord said to Moses, they shall offer their offering each prince on his day for the dedicating of the altar. So, dedicating of the altar. So you got 12 princes. You got 13 tribes, but only 12 bring offerings to the Lord. Which one's left out?
Levi.
He's too busy taking it in, organizing it, working for the Lord. So you really, here are the 12 tribes you have. Those are the 12 tribes of Israel. Levi is not counted, and Joseph is elevated above them. And that leaves 12, I think. Yep. All right. Now, on each day, each tribe is going to bring its offering. Let's read what that offering was on day one. What tribe is day one?
Judah.
All right, what did he bring? Read it out loud to me, somebody.
And his offering was one silver charger.
One silver, that's like a big plate.
Mm-hmm. It was 130
shekels. 130
shekels,
all right.
One silver bowl of 70 shekels.
Bowl.
After the shekel of the sanctuary.
All right. What's next?
Both of them were full of fine flour mingled with oil for a meat offering.
All right. Okay.
One spoon of 10 shekels of gold full of incense.
Wow. One spoon full of incense. One spoon and the incense. Now that's incense mixed the way God said mix it.
Yes.
Okay. What's next?
One young bullock.
This is day one.
One ram.
One ram, okay.
One lamb of the first year for a burnt offering.
All right.
One kid of the goats for a sin offering.
All right.
And for a sacrifice of peace offerings, two oxen, five rams.
Five rams.
Five he-goats.
Five he-goats.
Five lambs of the first year.
Wow.
This was the offering of, I guess it's Nathan, the son of Amminadab.
From the tribe of Judah.
From the tribe of Judah.
Now, what makes this the longest chapter in the Bible, except for Psalm 119, is that the Lord chooses to repeat this completely for all 12 people, because it's exactly the same, 12 straight days. He doesn't say at the end of this about Judah, and the other 11 princes offered exactly the same thing. Could have shortened that big chapter down real small. He doesn't. It says, and on the second day, what's the second tribe there?
See, on the second day, it's Nethanel, the son of Zuar, prince of Issachar.
And what did he offer, Glenn?
The same.
Let me tell you what he offered. He offered one silver charger, 130 shekels. One silver bowl, 70 shekels,
yes.
Both full of flour and oil for, what's that, meat offering?
Yeah.
One spoon and the incense in it. Does it say what that spoon's made out of?
Gold.
Gold. I thought that's what it ought to be. One young bullock, one ram, one lamb the first year, one kid of the goats, two oxen, five ram, five he goats, and five lambs.
Yep.
That's what it says.
That's
and that's what it says every time, every day that it passes through. That's what makes the chapter so long. So it's really not that long a chapter. If you read it one time, you've got the whole thing. But they did this the first. Judah did it the first day the tabernacle was reared up. Was it Issachar the second day?
Yes.
Zebulun the third day?
Yes.
Then you probably start it with what?
Reuben.
Reuben. Was it Reuben and
yep.
Simeon? Reuben and Simeon and Gad. The 6 days. Then on the seventh day, you probably started with Manasseh, Ephraim, and then Manasseh on the eighth day. Okay, now, on that eighth day, there was something else going on. Because you remember, on the first day when Judah offered this, Moses had anointed Aaron and his sons and told them to stay inside that tabernacle for 7 days. So on the eighth day, Moses has got to go get them out and go through this ceremony and let Aaron, not Moses, offer the sacrifices that day. And he starts his work for the Lord. That's in Leviticus chapter 9, so we need to go back there now. Leviticus chapter 9. The tribes are still bringing their offerings each day. It came to pass on the eighth day that Moses called Aaron and his sons and the elders of Israel, and he said to Aaron, you take a young calf for a sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering without blemish, and you offer them before the Lord. And unto the children of Israel, you speak, Aaron, saying, you tell them to take a kid of the goats for a sin offering and a calf and a lamb of the first year without blemish for a burnt offering. And then it goes on to tell them what else to do. Verse 6, after they brought all these animals, Moses said, this is the thing which the Lord commanded that you should do. And the glory of the Lord shall appear unto you. Moses said to Aaron, you go to the altar. Because he had to wash first. You go to the altar, offer your sin offering and your burnt offering. In other words, he had to make sacrifice for himself first.
Yes.
Then he could proceed with making the sacrifice for the people. And he continues offering for himself all the way down to verse 15. Then he brought the people's offering. He and the people and slew it and offered it for sin, the first. And he brought the burnt offering, verse 16, offered it according to the manner God prescribed. And all of this was besides verse 17. You see at the end of verse 17, it says, all of this is besides the burnt offering that they offered every morning. Every morning they had to offer a burnt offering to God, no matter what day it was. So that had already started that day. He slew the bullock, goes on and tells about that. And when he finished all this ceremony, in verse 22, Aaron lifted up his hand toward the people and blessed them. And he came down from offering of the sin offering and the burnt offering and the peace offerings. And Moses and Aaron went into the tabernacle of the congregation and met with God. Then they came out and blessed the people. And the glory of the Lord appeared unto all the people. And then what happened? Fire did not come down. Fire came out and consumed the sacrifice. Didn't come down. And they had just been in there. And God gave them time to get out and get out of the way. Then he took over and took the offering off the altar. Amen. Now, Aaron's two oldest sons were really getting caught up in this. This was a magnificent day. They were being elevated high above all the people. Why, Nadab, in just a few short years, would be the one allowed to go into that most holy place. And his next oldest brother, Abihu, both of them really got carried away. And it appears as if they got so carried away that they got puffed up. And they may have even gotten a little drunk here on the wine. We'll read about that, see if it doesn't sound like that. And they decided that they were really going to do it right. A little bit of incense in the morning and a little bit of incense in the evening weren't good enough. They were going to add some of their own. And it may have even been more expensive incense than what God told Israel to mix together. They were going to be a shining example of how really to serve God. And forget the fact God had already told them how to do it. They were going to add to what God said. Chapter 10. And Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer and put fire therein, and put incense thereon, and came before the Lord. Now this is the incense altar. This is the altar of the God who just blew fire through the whole place and burned up the offering outside. And they go in right into his door and bring in incense that was probably very expensive, but it was strange because it wasn't part of what he told Moses to do. Strange worship is any worship other than what God says do. A stranger to God is anybody who's not a part of his family. They offered strange incense, which he commanded them not. And what happened? More fire came out of the most holy place. And it didn't go outside. It burned them alive right here at the incense altar. Both of them. Aaron's sons were reduced in number from 4 to 2 in just a few minutes. A few seconds, probably. They died before the Lord. Of course, Aaron was beside himself. And Moses came to him and said, "This is what God was talking about, Aaron. This is that the Lord spake, saying, I will be respected. I will be honored. I will be sanctified in them that come nigh to me. You have been honored, Aaron, you and your sons, to be close to me. But those that are close to me must sanctify me. Honor my judgments. It's required. And before all the people, I will be glorified. If you don't sanctify me, I'll glorify myself before the people by killing you." And Moses said, "Aaron, this is what God was talking about. If you're going to be there in that holy place, you're going to be doing holy things. You're not going to be doing your own way. You don't have a better plan than what God came up with. If you add to it, it messes it up. If you leave anything out, it messes it up. What God has given you is perfect. Do it His way." That's what we say. Jesus' baptism is perfect. Don't add anything to it. Don't leave it out. Just that. God's way is perfect. His communion is enough. Don't add a ceremony to it. Don't leave it out. Just keep the communion of the Holy Ghost. There's a death penalty that goes with worship other than the way God says. I heard my father preach as a teenager, and it's so true. He said it's a good thing for some of us that the rest of us aren't any closer to God than we are. At that time, they had people living that were close to God. This was full of the glory of God. And that transgression of worshiping God other than what He said worship Him in was an immediate death Same way right after the Holy Ghost came. When Ananias and Sapphira thought they would lie to Peter and get by with it. There was too much glory, Jimmy. Too much glory for a lie to survive. And when Ananias came and lied and laid a certain amount of money at Peter's feet, and he said, "This is what we sold our property for, and we've devoted every bit of it to God." Peter said, "How is it you've gotten so bold as to lie to the Holy Ghost?" And God took the life out of that man. There was too much glory there to lie. It's a good thing for some of us that the rest of us aren't any closer to God than we are. But I think it would be a better thing for all of us if we were as closer to God than we are. You just don't fool around with the real glory of God. It's dangerous. Moses called... Oh, and Aaron then, he stopped complaining. He held his peace. He was brokenhearted, but he held his peace. I'll tell you something else he didn't do. He didn't take a few days to get over it. The high priest didn't have one single vacation day. He was given no time off for a funeral. High priest of Israel didn't conduct funerals. He was forbidden to be at one. No time off. He had to burn that incense in the morning and evening. Had to light the candles morning and evening. Make the daily sacrifices, plus the rest. And then you had to be there on duty in case somebody came to get right with God and offer a sin offering and confess their sin. No time off for the high priest of Israel. It's a 24/7 job. Aaron couldn't take time off to mourn for his slain sons.
If his body would have found him.
That's why he couldn't go to a funeral. A high priest would be defiled by coming in contact with a dead body. Even for his mother, father, wife, children, nobody. Moses called Mishael and Elzaphan, the sons of Uzziel, the uncle of Aaron, in other words, his cousins, and said to them, "You come near and get your brothers, your relatives' bodies out of the sanctuary." So they went near and carried them in their coats out of the camp, as Moses had said. And Moses said to Aaron and unto his two remaining sons, Eleazar and Ithamar, "Do not uncover your heads." That's how they mourn. They shave their heads sometime. "Do not tear your clothes, lest you die." You've been put on duty now. Forget this mourning thing. That's not what you've been called to do. "And lest wrath come upon all the people." If you die, who's going to help them do their sacrifices? "But your brethren, the whole house of Israel, let them bewail the burning which the Lord has kindled. And you shall not leave the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, lest ye die. For the anointing oil of the Lord is upon you." And they did according to the word of the Lord. And this is what makes me think that Aaron's two sons may have been a little bit inebriated. Because all of a sudden God starts talking to Moses about not being drunk when they come in there. The Lord spoke to Moses, Aaron, and the Lord spoke to Aaron, not to Moses. "Do not drink wine or strong drink, you or your sons with you, when you go into the tabernacle of the congregation, lest you die. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations." Why? "So that you may put a difference between what is holy and unholy, what is unclean and what is clean. And so you may teach the children of Israel all the statutes which the Lord has spoken unto them by the hand of Moses." And Moses spoke unto Aaron and to Eleazar and to Ithamar his sons that were left, "You take the meat offering that remains of the offerings of the Lord made by fire and eat it without leaven beside the altar. It is most holy." In other words, Moses was so determined to keep the ceremonies going that he told Aaron and his sons, "Now, we've got some sacrifices here. You all are supposed to eat part of it with God, like God eats it off the altar, and you eat your part. Let's keep this going now. Go on, let's get this eat." Well, later Moses comes back, and all of it's been burned up. They didn't keep the ceremony rightly. And it says Moses got very angry. Moses, verse 16, Moses diligently sought the goat of the sin offering, behold, it was burnt, and he was angry with Eleazar and Ithamar, the sons of Aaron, which were left alive, saying, why have you not eaten the sin offering in the holy place, seeing it is most holy? And God has given it to you to bear the iniquity of the congregation, to make atonement for them before the Lord. The blood of it was not brought in within the holy place. You should indeed have eaten it in the holy place as I commanded. And Aaron said to Moses, now I love this about God. Aaron said, this day they've offered their sin offering, their burnt offerings before the Lord, and look what's happened to me. If I had eaten the sin offering today, would it have been accepted in the sight of the Lord? I mean, if God says don't boil a kid in his mother's milk, if he's not got that kind of feeling for animals, can he demand that I eat something with my heart being torn out of my chest? And Moses said, yeah, I can understand. And let it go. It wasn't according to the commandment, but it was according to the heart of God. He understood Aaron's feelings. And let it go. God is a good God.
Amen.
He cares more about people than he does ceremony. Praise God. All right, now that's on the eighth day. All that happened on the eighth day. Let's go back to Numbers chapter 7 and see what happened on the ninth. 760. On the ninth day, Abidan, the son of Gideoni, prince for the children of Benjamin, offered. So here goes all those offerings. Keep rolling in. Eleazar and Ithamar now have double the work. Eleazar is Aaron's apprentice. He has to learn how to do Aaron's job. Plus he has to keep up with all these offerings. Nadab and Abihu are dead. They can't do their part. So Eleazar and Ithamar's workload has at least doubled. And the offerings keep coming in day by day. Now we're getting up as day by day goes by to the 14th day of the month of Abib, the first month. And what happens on that day? Passover. So we got Passover coming on the 14th day. We got 12 tribes. So when the 12 days are finished, they've got to make preparations. On the 10th day, they had to put up the lamb that they were going to sacrifice, or goat. Keep that up until the 14th day. Kill that and get Passover going. They had a special sacrifice for the Sabbath day. Had a special sacrifice for the Passover. So Aaron and his sons are immediately going high gear and not allowed to take any time off to grieve for their loved ones that are dead. That's what's happening here in Numbers chapter 7. They know the days are coming where they've got to do even more work. Now in Numbers chapter 9, beginning in verse 1, an issue comes up about the Passover. The Lord spoke to Moses in the wilderness of Sinai in the first month of the second year after they were come out of the land of Egypt, saying, let the children of Israel also keep the Passover at his appointed season in the 14th day of the month at evening. You shall keep it in his appointed season according to all the rites, according to all the ceremonies thereof, you shall keep it. And Moses spoke unto the children of Israel that they should keep the Passover, and they kept the Passover on the 14th day of the first month at evening in the wilderness of Sinai. According to all that the Lord commanded Moses, so did the children of Israel. But they had a problem. Some people there had come in contact with a dead body and were ritually unclean and couldn't keep the Passover. So what's God going to do? There were certain men who were defiled by the dead body of a man that they could not keep the Passover on that day. And they came before Moses and before Aaron on that day. And those men said unto him, we are defiled by the dead body of a man. Why are we kept back that we may not offer an offering of the Lord in his appointed season among the children of Israel? And the Lord said, well, you just wait here. Let me go into the most holy place and talk to God who speaks to me from between the cherubim, and I'll tell you what he says. Moses didn't know. He had no authority to make up a law. He had to find out, what about this? God, they're unclean. They can't keep the Passover. What are we going to do with them? In verse 9, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, now Moses, when he went in there, took the veil off, of course, and the Lord spoke to him, saying, if any man of you or of your posterity, your children to come, be unclean by reason of a dead body, or be in a journey far off and can't get back home in time, still he shall keep the Passover unto the Lord, in the 14th day of the next month. So there was a second Passover for those who were unclean or unable, for whatever reason, to keep it in the first month. It's a good God. And they shall keep it and do it just like the regulations say, with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. And leave none of it till the morning. Don't break any bones of it, according to all the ordinances of the Passover. But listen, Moses, don't let anybody just skip the first Passover just because they don't feel like doing it. The man that is clean and is not in a journey and still forbeareth to keep the Passover, he'll be cut off from among his people, because he brought not the offering of the Lord in his appointed season. That man shall bear his sin. And if a stranger sojourn among you and wants to keep the Passover, according to the ordinance of the Passover, according to the manner thereof, he shall do it, but he's got to be circumcised. You shall have one ordinance for the stranger and for him born in the land. Now you're ready to read the book of Leviticus. And that's your assignment for next time, to go over that. Amen. I love reading through these things. Leaves with a good feeling. Yeah, it shows the nature. God knew man. He knew if he gave him a second chance, some of them would just be lazy and not get the first chance.
Was Aaron in that situation?
What?
He had to not do the Passover?
Aaron never touched those dead bodies. That's what Moses wouldn't let him do.
Well, I mean, you know, it said that if you have a dead body there.
No, if you touch it. If you were defiled by it.
Oh, if you were defiled by it.
He wouldn't let Aaron go to the funeral. Wouldn't let him mourn.
So those people who had to deal with those bodies, they were some of those.
If they touched them, if they touched the dead body, they were defiled by it.
And how long, what did they have to do to the body? Was there some kind of a...
Just bury them.
They had to keep the body.
The typical time of mourning was 30 days.
30 days. And they had to keep themselves set apart after touching them.
Oh, yeah. Then they had a ceremony they had to go through when they came back into the camp. That's in Numbers 5 or 6. Huh? Oh, well, probably wasn't a whole lot left of Aaron's two sons.
Well, they had his coats.
Well, they picked them up in their coats, wrapped them up, took them out, whatever was left.
So they didn't wear their coats when they went in?
They probably did, but I think the coats they were talking about were Aaron's uncle's sons.
Oh.
Their coats. Yeah, that's how I read it.
And he was in the holy place, right? They were in the holy place.
Uh-huh.
I kept thinking about those two men that had to go in there to get it. But you know, they must have had to be
there. Yeah, sure they did. I would have.
I would have.
Could we go in there and see those two dead young men there? Burned up?
I bet it never even burned the veil up, maybe.
No, it probably just went right through that veil. Phew. That's what it means when, though 10,000 fall at your right hand, it shall not come nigh thee. It didn't even come close to that veil. It just went through it. It's only close to you if God's about to get you. If God does not intend for you to be harmed, it's nowhere near you. Even if they fall dead at your right hand, it's nowhere near you. It doesn't matter where they are geographically. It matters where you are in the mind of God. Amen. Praise God. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Yeah, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were so far from that fire in the fiery furnace, they didn't even get the smell of smoke on them. They were a million miles from that fire. It's a million miles from you. Amen. There was a young woman that came to my father when he went to Louisville, and Daddy laid hands on her, and for the first time in her life, she felt the real power of God. She came to him after the meeting and said, "I grew up around holiness people. I've had them stomp on my feet when I was a child. I've had them fall on top of me. I've had them shout all around me." She said, "Tonight was the first time I ever felt the power of God." That night was the first time she ever got close to God, right in the middle of God's people. Praise God. Amen. Let's get close to God and stay there. Amen. 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 You're the temple of God now. You're the temple. Praise God. Amen. Amen. And if the glory of God fills you enough, the fire of God is going to protect you. Amen.
Hey, John, this really tells you, if you look at it, we are not our own.
We're not our own.
We are bought with a price. And if we don't pay that price, we're going to get consumed by the power of God, just like those two
priests
of Aaron and their sons. You know, you've got to make the right offerings, the right sacrifices, do the right thing. Because it's all got to be for the glory of God. And if it's not, He can destroy you just like that.
It brings no glory to God except to do it His way.
That's right.
That's the only thing.
Amen.
That's the only thing that works. The only thing that saves. The only thing that protects us. How does God want us to worship Him? That's all that matters. That's all. Everything else is wrong. Everything else is wrong. Every church but His is wrong. Every baptism but His is wrong. Every doctrine but His is wrong. Every spirit but His is wrong. Everything except God is wrong. Everybody's wrong but God. Everybody. Nobody knows what's right but God. Praise God.
Amen.
When I read this about it, this is really good what we went over today. You can see how God, in His love and mercy, is holding back His anger and wrath on His children today.
Yes, He is.
They are worshiping
Him. I know it.
They are worshiping.
It's their ignorance that's saving them.
That's right.
And we were thinking, you know, the whole world needs to hear it. But we're getting it.
Yeah. Praise God.
Amen.
God, help us find a way to get it out.
Yes, amen.
God's children need to know these things.
Praise God.
But God is merciful because we're ignorant. Later on, when Hezekiah's father Ahaz was so wicked, he literally nailed the doors of God's temple shut in Jerusalem. Hezekiah's first year as king pulled the nails out and called all God's people to honor God with the Passover, because it was Passover time. And when he got all the people together, especially the ones from up north, they had been without any education in God, no teachers, no Levites telling them that they were ignorant. Some of them came defiled. And Hezekiah said, God, we didn't know. And God said, it'll be all right. Praise God. Amen. Amen. The good Lord pardoned them. And God pardoned them. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank God that God's people are ignorant. Because if they were where they are now, with the knowledge of the truth, they'd be lost. Oh, my. Praise God. Glory to God. God, help your people. Help your people, God. Send out the light and bring them out. And set them free. Glory to God. To honor God His way. That's what we're after. To honor God His way. The only way that does honor Him. Praise God. God, help us to start now, because there is for every one of us a best starting right now. It may not be the best that we could have had starting 20 years ago, but there is a best starting right now. That's what we want. From where we are now, Jesus, we want our best with You. There is a perfect path from today. There is a perfect path starting today. Oh, glory to God. And that's what we want, Jesus. To walk the perfect path from right now. As my father used to say, from right now until the end is what counts. From today on is all that matters with God. Amen. 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 Amen.